We've had a lot of flooding news this summer. Floods in the southwest swept away a hiker in Zion National Park. In Dallas, rains drowned cars and prompted a disaster declaration. And in eastern Kentucky recently, where floods washed away entire communities, kids who are supposed to be back in school are still waiting. WFPL's Jess Clark reports.
Hey, Rachel, can you show me the camper?
Third grader Rachel Parks is living in a camping trailer with her family outside their flood-damaged home in Buckhorn, Kentucky.
This is the kitchen. Here's the bathroom.
During the flood, Rachel spent a harrowing night in the car with her mom, dad, and older brother. They parked on a hill and waited as the water rose over their whole neighborhood, terrified that the massive dam holding back Lake Buckhorn would burst.
It was really sad, scary, and overwhelming.
Rachel says she gets scared now every time it rains. She's antsy for school to start so she can see her friends again and make sure they're okay. But because the area sustained so much damage, the district had to push the first day back several weeks. At Letcher Elementary and Middle School, Sherry Brown is in the kitchen, getting meals ready for the volunteers who will arrive with trucks and ATVs.
We load them down with food and we send them to the haulers.
More than 1,000 families in Letcher County alone lost their homes. Many buildings in the Letcher County school system were flooded, and the ones that weren't are serving as relief centers. Brown is the cafeteria manager at this mountain school. Now she and a few other staff and volunteers are pulling 16-hour days to cook enough for the entire area, students, families, and their neighbors.
We go feed them babies. That's our go, feed our babies.
Meanwhile, the start of school in Letcher is on hold indefinitely. Recovery costs to school districts throughout the region will likely top $100 million.
We have, as you know, 3 schools impacted.
Several miles away in neighboring Knott County, school superintendent Brent Hoover is taking call after call, trying to figure out how to get 3 flooded buildings repaired. But his mind is elsewhere.
I have out there in my car now, I have 8 obituary cards. I've attended 8 funerals in 6 days.
At least 39 people are confirmed dead as a result of the flooding, including several children. Hoover is anxious for students to be back in the classroom so that kids have some semblance of normalcy.
It is very important to me to get back in and have a normal school year.
But first, school buildings have to be cleaned, sewer systems have to be repaired, and buses have to be rerouted to avoid washed-out roads.
I just mean it.
At Emelina Elementary, Kimberly Mosley and her fourth-grade daughter Tinsley are helping unload donations, this time a brand-new mattress, which Tinsley decides might be too heavy for her 9-year-old arms.
I can't carry a mattress.
Nearby, empty lots and foundations are all that's left of some students' homes. One of them belonged to second grader Madison Noble, who died along with her 3 younger siblings when floodwater swept them from their parents' grasp. Mosley was Madison's teacher. She's coping by throwing herself into relief efforts.
And now when school starts back, it's going to be another hit. When you start having empty seats in your classroom,
this is it, Mosley says. Tinsley props open the door as volunteers debate how to get the mattress into the gym.
I guess we better go out there and help.
She's looking forward to when she'll be back in this building with all of her classmates when school starts.
I'm kind of sad it got pushed back, but I know why it had to be pushed back.
She's got more than a month to wait. For NPR News, I'm Jess Clark in Emelina.